It's Essential Pittsburgh. It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Tom Petzinger in for Paul Guggenheimer. Before introducing our next guest, I'd like to make a quick personal comment in the interest of full disclosure. I'm sitting in for Paul today for three reasons. I serve on the 90.5 WESA Board of Directors. I have a background as a journalist. And my current career involves biotechnology in Pittsburgh. That last reason is why we chose today's topic. That said, we've taken care in planning this show to schedule guests with whom I have no business involvement whatsoever. Our look at biotechnology in the Pittsburgh area continues with Courtney Williamson. She's an entrepreneur and the founder of AbilaLife, which designs assistive braces for people with Parkinson's disease. Courtney, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you, Tom.
It's a pleasure to have you here. Now, your story, we're here to talk mainly about life sciences in the Pittsburgh region, but let's talk about you personally. Your story begins on a personal basis, doesn't it? Would you share that with us?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. So my mother had Parkinson's disease for 25 years, so I was around the age of 2 or 3 when she was diagnosed. And, you know, living with someone with Parkinson's or a movement disorder, you get to learn how to be creative in ways to help them with daily activities. But one of the biggest challenges that my mom faced was her poor posture, her poor balance. And that's something that the majority of Parkinson's patients, as well as the elderly community, faces. I tried looking for products and solutions to help her on the market, and I couldn't find anything, which is when I decided to take matters into my own hand.
And tell us what the product is.
Sure. So our first product is named the Calibrace, and it is a back brace that improves posture and stability for the wearer. So the back brace looks like a vest. You can put it on yourself or with help. And we have patent-pending technology that lifts the shoulders up and back, so it's a tensioning mechanism. It's all mechanical at this point. And the brace can be worn underneath clothing. It also can be worn over top of clothing.
Now, one of the reasons we wanted to have you on the show is you're a student, and students are the future. Youth is the future of this aging region. Tell me how it came to be that as a student at Carnegie Mellon, correct?
Yes, correct.
You founded this business in Pittsburgh.
Absolutely. So I am a PhD candidate at Carnegie Mellon in the business school, studying organizational behavior and theory. And I knew I had this problem with my mom. And I also knew that Carnegie Mellon had tremendous talent that came from around the world. And I knew that I could find students who were also interested in the aging population and creating product to help improve the lives and the quality of life for the aging population. So I went to a biomedical capstone course. So this is a senior thesis course with senior undergraduate students who are interested in biomedical technology, and formed a group of 5 students, very talented. And we worked with each other for the entire year, iterating, asking questions, testing hypotheses about what we could do to help with this postural instability.
And what then about actually forming the business? You have a business today, right? It's a registered to do business, to raise money, to file intellectual property, and so forth. As a student, how did you pull that off, and what resources did you use in the local community?
Absolutely. So, like I said, we started off in the labs at Carnegie Mellon, but quickly realized this was something that could help other people, and thus we wanted to commercialize it. So taking that tech and taking that information from the lab and from the university into the commercial setting. So I had a lot of resources that I was able to use as a student. Project Olympus and the Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship at Carnegie Mellon was incredibly helpful in this journey.
With, for example, business plan development,
business
or fundraising?
Business plan development, thinking about fundraising, how to pitch the product, how to develop a team, ways to get in front of thought leaders in Pittsburgh. I think it's been phenomenal just networking with people in the biomedical industry here in Pittsburgh and learning about that landscape.
Well, I was going to ask, presumably most universities these days, in fact, I know for a fact that they have programs to support students, and particularly graduate students, with technologies. Mm-hmm. But does anything particularly distinguish either CMU or the Pittsburgh region as opposed to other regions in supporting a student entrepreneur?
I firmly believe that I could not have gotten my education and started this business if I were not at Carnegie Mellon and in Pittsburgh. And the reason why I say that is because Pittsburgh itself is sort of built off of this idea of innovation and entrepreneurship. And it's something that just runs through the blood and the veins of Pittsburgh. It's something that continues. I think at Carnegie Mellon, the emphasis on putting your heart in the work and really focusing in on problems and innovation and pushing the boundaries is readily apparent. But there are mechanisms and programs in place where those thoughts and those ideas and those projects can actually blossom into something that has commercial value.
I love that your line that innovation and entrepreneurship runs through the veins of the region in a way that, coke and coal and steel once ran through the veins of our rivers. Now, you've got a product.
Yes.
What is the stage of development?
So we are actually manufacturing as we speak. We chose a manufacturing plant in Rocky Mount, Virginia, which is close to Roanoke, Virginia. And we are ready to begin our production run and to start selling our product.
Well, that'll be a big moment.
Yes.
Can you forecast when your first product sale, your first dollar of revenue is going
Absolutely.
To be?
Absolutely. So we've done a couple of pre-sales to test the market and to get customer validation, but we're really aiming to start mid-September to end of September and really pushing out our product. And in fact, on September 15th, we are launching a crowdfunding campaign to spread the word to within the Pittsburgh region and beyond about our product and to let people know that it's here for them.
Tell why crowdfunding? Why not standard venture
Sure.
capital?
Yeah, so I think one of the great things of being an entrepreneur in this time are that people have gotten entrepreneurial about how to raise funds and how to run a business. And I think one of the biggest benefits of crowdfunding is that you have a small window of time where you get to really get the honest feedback of the crowd and find out what is the market thinking, what does the market want. It's a really great way for us to really understand our product from the eyes of our consumers.
So it's essentially part of product development as
Absolutely.
Well. Did any of your local resources or your academic resources counsel you to go in that direction?
Yes. So my company was a recent Alpha Lab Gear graduate.
Tell us what Alpha Lab
Alpha
Gear
Lab
is.
Alpha Lab Gear is a nationally ranked accelerator for hardware startups. And we were with them for about 9 months for an entire cycle. We had tremendous mentorship throughout the program. And that was certainly one of the suggestions, is to go into crowdfunding.
Hmm. Now, you mentioned that you had to put together a team. How did you put together a team, and to what degree were the resources in the local community of benefit there?
Absolutely. So I have a chief technology officer, Noah Pappas. He actually has a master's degree from the University of Pittsburgh and worked at places such as Johnson & Johnson and Boston Scientific. And
those are very, among other things, absolutely. Very notable medical device manufacturers.
Absolutely. And he has a passion for helping people through engineering. And I think that's where we had our synergy, and we really knew that we had something special and something that we can grow upon. We also have a principal engineer, Britta Alm, and she is a recent graduate of the robotics department at Carnegie Mellon. And she has been interested in biotech since she was in high school, worked for Lockheed Martin actually in high school, and has just continued on her passion with Abella Life.
Hmm. We've discussed a little bit earlier on the show the involvement of women and minorities in the local life sciences scene. Being here in the studio with you, I have the benefit of noting that you're African American. Have you observed that women and minorities have a role in this local life sciences community? Because, we need to access those communities, and they need to access the industry of the future. What's your take on where things stand?
Absolutely. I definitely believe that women and minorities have a role in this space. I don't think that we have populated those roles. So I don't see a lot of people who look like me and who look like women and minorities, unfortunately, in events that I go to and in different pitch competitions.
Well, that's a task for the future. You're listening to Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Tom Petzinger, sitting in for Paul Guggenheimer. We're talking with Courtney Williamson, entrepreneur and founder of AbilaLife, which designs assistive braces for people with Parkinson's disease. I'd like to take you back to the science and the medicine a little bit, Courtney. Why is posture, other than for mechanical purposes, I mean, posture is important to all of us, but why is it particularly relevant in Parkinson's disease?
So about 70 to 90% of Parkinson's patients have postural instability at some point during their disease state. So what that means is that they're in a chronic state of not being aligned. And that does a couple of things. First, if you can imagine being sort of hunched over in a chair and then have the task of trying to stand up from that chair. Well, you're immediately in the position where you can easily topple over. And that is, in fact, what a lot of Parkinson's patients do. They tend to fall more so than the elderly population, who, by the way, one out of three of our seniors fall at least once in a calendar year. It's a huge, huge problem for Americans, a $60 billion direct medical cost problem. And it's terrifying for families and for loved ones. So posture really plays a role in things like fall risk, digestion even, the ability to be able to breathe and take full breaths.
Well, understood. You mentioned that you're manufacturing your initial products, which presumably will be available on you'll use those in the Indiegogo campaign,
yes,
right?
Correct.
In Virginia. Is there, since the theme of this show today is sort of, will technology and biotechnology in particular ultimately replace manufacturing. Of course, medical devices do have to be manufactured. Even drugs do too, even if they have a larger intellectual content than steel, for example. But what is the chance that you could ultimately repatriate this manufacturing back to this manufacturing city? And what would be the factors that would influence that?
Yeah, I definitely think, Pittsburgh is definitely a maker's town. It's something that I have witnessed and I'm really fortunate to be a part of now. I think that that is definitely a possibility. We love this region for so many reasons. It gives so much and it's so collaborative. And we definitely look forward to finding ways to partner with manufacturers here locally.
Where are you from, by the way, that you came to Carnegie Mellon for your PhD studies?
Sure. So I am originally from Baltimore, Maryland. That's where my family is, and I was born and raised there. I left Baltimore and went to Atlanta, Georgia, where I attended Spelman College. It's a historically black all-women's college in Atlanta. And then from there, I came to Carnegie Mellon to begin my doctoral studies.
And your doctoral studies are in organizational design and development. You're now in a technology space,
yes,
a commercialization space. How relevant is that ivory tower academic pursuit to your day in and day out turning the crank on the business?
Oh, it's incredibly relevant. There's really not a day that it goes by that I don't reference the work and the teachings that I've received from my advisors and my mentors at Carnegie Mellon. For instance, my advisor, Professor Lynn Aragoti, just published a paper talking about learning in manufacturing and how manufacturers teach their employees and how learning occurs. That's something that is incredibly relevant to me as I'm manufacturing a product, a physical product. I need to be aware of how the manufacturing plants are improving their systems such that my product can be successful.
Looking forward, you'll take the product out to the community. You'll crowdsource the feedback. You'll crowdsource some funding along the way, correct? What then? What's the life cycle of the AbilaLife product? How much investment will be required? How many years will be required before you think you may have a product that's out there making a difference in the lives of Parkinson's patients and maybe bringing some wealth back to the Pittsburgh area?
Absolutely. We definitely look forward to fulfilling our mission, which is improving the quality of life for the elderly and for those with movement impaired. Parkinson's disease is our initial target. It's something that's very close to home for me, and it's also something that affects 1.5 million Americans and 10 million patients worldwide. So it's definitely a fantastic area to start because there are so many people in need. As we continue to grow, our product is going to shift such that we're creating a health wearable using the existing calibrace, the existing back brace, that would allow us to use machine learning algorithms from Carnegie Mellon to detect symptoms that could predict falls.
More synergy with Carnegie Mellon.
Absolutely.
And can you estimate how much investment you'll require before you get to the sustainable level?
Yeah. You know, that's
part of the business plan,
part of
right?
the business plan. It's absolutely part of the business plan. I mean, we're looking to raise maybe $500,000 to $1 million to really get off the ground and get going.
Well, we wish you the best with that and with the Indiegogo campaign. I appreciate your coming in. Courtney Williamson, entrepreneur and founder of Abila Life, thank you once again. Coming up, our look at the biotech industry in Pittsburgh continues. We'll explore how one local company is discovering and developing drug treatments for diseases of the central nervous system.